Hello, Angela here with Springs of Zion podcast, where I like to talk about encountering God. God is raising an army of believers who seek His springs in Zion. God's springs, or waters, are glimpses of revelation which strengthen and empower our walk with Him. The Lord is calling His people of Zion to become one heart and one mind in righteousness. My hope today is to be an encouraging voice in a world that literally has gone crazy. So let's begin by praying. Father God, please cover this podcast message today with your heavenly protection to open eyes, ears, and hearts as I share your word, and that your spirit leads this time and allows each one listening to respond for your sake. We ask this in your ever-loving name of Jesus, your son. Amen. So this week, it was a busy week. the Lord has been really teaching me, Holy Spirit, has been teaching me about inequity. Inequity is captivity of our souls. So inequity really is what we're born into, and sin is the fruit of inequity. So this week is basically a continuation of last week's message, which was deep, deep darkness covers the earth. And if you haven't read that pod or listened to it, you can also go to my blog. But if you want to listen to it, it's last week, number 25. This is podcast 26. It's kind of exciting. I can't believe I'm here. Feels like yesterday when I just started. So I just appreciate all of you guys who are listening. And I welcome those who are new. So inequity is, from birth, is planted in our spirit. And it begins to corrupt our heart through our reasoning. What we believe about ourselves and the way we develop ourselves, and even where we put our trust. Holy Spirit has been teaching me about this because in the Bible, inequity is separate from sin. So do a little bit of research for yourself. And I didn't actually count how many times. I didn't prepare that, but I know they're separate. But the church says inequity is sin, and I have been believing that recently up to now myself. No, inequity is why we sin. Satan's plan is to lead us, to take us through our own fallen nature or ways as a banner of self-justification, to corrupt our hearts through our own reasoning and behaviors. I mean, it's a genius plan. It's such a good plan. By our own behaviors and thoughts, we make ourselves captive, and it's already, the seed is already there. We make the job so easy for Satan, don't we? Our behaviors are built as a small child. If you're like me and you were motherless in your formative years, your reasoning, it probably needs adjustment. I know mine did. Perhaps you self-justify your behavior, whether it's good behavior or it's sulking. I mean, our behaviors, if they have not improved over your lifetime, you need adjustment. The justification of our behavior keeps us stuck. We become stagnant in our walk with God. We may know the word of God, but we need an attitude adjustment. For example, how about the reactions to things? Are your reactions to things ungodly? Or maybe you handle things well, your reactions are well, but you hear the whispering lies of the enemy in your ear, which makes you feel insignificant, powerless. Either way, how does this behavior glorify Jesus? If you are if we're totally sold out for Jesus, why are we behaving like this? We are kings and priests, remember? This is not how a king or a priest act. Using myself an example, I ran a business for 10 years, a coffee shop, and it was a Christian coffee shop, and I was very proud of it. But I was on the go, 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 go. I mean, seriously, I got up at 4:30 every day, and I didn't get done with my shop and close and lock the door till 4 every afternoon. After 7.5 years of this, I was exhausted. The last 3.5 years almost killed me, because I was doing it all in my own strength. I did know God. I read the Bible. I went to church. Each day began great. But as the day progressed, I became less and less joyful. I blamed my lack of joy on exhaustion, my frustration on exhaustion. And to be honest, when we do things within our own strength and it's not God's strength, we become joyless. and exhausted and unable to hear God consistently. And he can't bless us because our behavior does not glorify Jesus. When I finally got wind of this ridiculous behavior of myself, I began to get some rest and truly practice boundaries for myself. It took time, and I took time off, and I started reflecting. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came, and he began to train me. He pointed me to websites and reading different books and going to YouTube and just quieting my mind. And he would speak to me. He would drop little things in my spirit. And you know what? To be honest, my behavior was soulish. That means everything I had done in my coffee shop up to that point was building my soul up. I didn't work for God. I wasn't glorifying God. If we're working for God, we're glorifying him. I had self-justified my behavior for multiple reasons. But more importantly, it was because I was not washed of my inequity. I began to pray to God as I went to work. God, please, less of me, more of you. It was like my mantra. I couldn't believe how many times a day I said this. Lord, please, less of me. I realized my flesh was really, really fleshy. And do you know what happened? My inequity started to wane away. Even though it was planted at birth, I stopped feeding my flesh. And it started to be purged. We can't do this ourselves. God has to help us, right? But I had made myself my own little God. And all through the Bible, little gods is talking about us. Now, I have to mention, our reasoning comes from our early childhood development, right? We begin our lives as corrupted seed because of the fall of Adam. If we look at Cain and Abel, they are a picture of good and bad seed of God. Cain always gave God the worst, and Abel saved everything for God. God even questioned Cain and said, you know, why are you giving me this garbage? A good example in my actual current life, not currently, but as my walk, I would make a sandwiches for dinner and soup, something quick. And I would make my sandwich with extra love. I would put tomatoes and pickles and extra turkey. And then I would make my husband's sandwich. He loved mayonnaise, so I slapped on a lot of mayonnaise. He didn't really like tomatoes. I gave him some turkey. And I'd go to sit down and he'd look at my sandwich and he'd say, hey, how come your sandwich looks so much better than mine? And I'd act shocked because I was. This is how deceived I was. I was like, it doesn't look better. And he's like, yeah, it does. And so in obedience, I would give him half of my sandwich and he'd take a bite. And he's like, this is delicious. That was my early days of marriage. I would say I didn't realize it, that I was actually making sure I got the very best. Later, when I began to be honest with myself, like 7 years into my marriage, I began to give him the option. I still made that better sandwich. And sometimes I would get lucky and he wouldn't pick the good one. I mean, call this childish, right? He'd always pick the best one or half of the best one. But later, he began sharing the best sandwich with me. This is the best part, you guys. He would feel bad for taking the best sandwich. And eventually I learned how to make two good sandwiches. So don't think I'm too crazy. And when we offer the best to others, and this means emotions, our physical offerings, servants, all of the things, eventually we get thousands fold back in our goodness. Not at first, because you can't have an agenda and be like, I'm going to give him the best sandwich, so then he'll give me the best sandwich back. No, you have to be like, I give him the best sandwich. I don't care what he gives me back. This is how we destroy the demonic seed within each of us. We must take our flesh, which is our mind, body, and soul, to the cross, just like Jesus. By laying it down, God works within us to destroy the sinful seed within us. And you know how we do this perfectly? Is walking with God in the Spirit. And we've covered this on my podcast, but isn't it beautiful? I mean, it really is beautiful, the design of God. To destroy the demonic seed within each of us, we must take our flesh to the cross. Isaiah tells us in chapter 59, verses 12 through 15, our transgressions multiplied trap us. It's so true. When we do things to put ourselves above others, we're trapping ourselves. The enemy doesn't even have to do anything. We've already done it. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, that if we operate out of our flesh, we're feeding the inequity that's already, the seed that's already in us. But it can be destroyed by the power and the Spirit alone. Destruction of the body of sin is by walking in the Spirit. I can't tell you this enough. Just get quiet with God. Read a few Psalms. Wait. And if your mind is still talking, sing. I know I've talked about this. Singing closes, shuts down the soul. It's not our will, okay? It's God's Spirit that destroys the inequity. As we work to remove the inequity, the Father will move towards us and our relationship with Him will get deeper. I call this a God shift. It can seem a little bit like chaos at first. God shifts you into position for the promise that you've been praying for. Right? Isn't that exciting? Sometimes a God shift looks like chaos, setbacks, and even defeat. But God is saying, when the dust settles, you will understand why you had to go through this and what you've been through. You get it. I mean, if we could only live our lives backwards, right? If you're in the middle of a shift right now, you've already noticed that the change is happening that does not make sense at all. When a God shift starts, your whole world can seem like it's falling apart. All hell can seem to be breaking loose after a wave, after wave, after wave, test after test. It will make you feel like you're being punished. This is the fire of God. Don't panic. It's not punishment. In order for God to shift us into position, He has to shift us out of conditions that prevent our shift. God is putting periods where you have question marks. God is closing wrong doors to wrong plans, to wrong relationships, to wrong decisions, and even some wrong places that have taken you on a detour from His path. Earlier this summer, Holy Spirit showed me a rock wall with bees going in and out. Do you remember this? This was a hive in a narrow opening within a rock wall. As the bees worked, I could tell they were on assignment. The Lord led me to Leviticus 18, verse 25 and 26. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its inequity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nations or any stranger who dwells within you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before me, and thus the land is defiled. I believe the land in this verse is our heart. God's foreknowledge is flawless. And His ability to know the end from the beginning is amazing. For He's God and we are not. I also want to add that a couple weeks ago, as I was worshiping the Lord, I heard the pendulum will drop. So you guys, the shift happens spiritually. God is doing a shift within you and me. He's also doing a shift in our nations. So I want to share a vision after I got this. I've been seeking the Lord for more revelation, but I feel like He's opening this up. So I'm asleep, and right before I wake up, always, it seems like, I have a vision, only this time it's like a movie. I have color vision sometimes. I dream, you guys, in black and white. So I know when God's speaking to me. And this was a colored dream. And as I'm watching, the ceiling opens up. I think it's a ceiling because I'm looking up slightly. I'm slightly looking up, And this thing in the ceiling opens, and I can't tell if it's a pit or if it's the ceiling of heaven to begin with. This is where my mind is. But as it's opening, it's kind of broken. The skinny smoke comes, white smoke, kind of, it felt like a spirit, floated down through this opening. And it was twisting, like the wind, kind of. And just as it got close enough for me to see that it was a spirit and not the Holy Spirit, it stopped by these little tentacles on the side of this tunnel and the opening. These two square white boxes come down through the hole. And I can tell that they're like train cars. And they're all white, kind of an off-white, not really, nothing godly. I could tell this was not God. They floated down through the opening, and each one was dressed with a red cross on it, the red cross symbol. They floated down, and after the one came down after the other one in a single file, they got trapped in that tentacle to the right of this opening. And I heard, stop wasting time. There isn't much time left. And I asked, what am I to do? And the voice said, you know what to do. And I woke up. And just as I was about to I was trying to get my bearings as I woke up because I didn't want to forget this. I heard the Holy Spirit say, the earth beneath your feet is about to shift significantly. Whew, and I feel a witness to this. The earth beneath your feet, and this is for all of us, you guys, because we're one body, we're the Church of Ecclesia. God's people move together. The earth beneath your feet is about to shift significantly. So even if you're dwelling on the outer court of your tabernacle, our anointing allows us to hear the Holy Spirit if we're quiet enough. So put this in your spirit. You know it's a God shift because the Holy Spirit has been whispering it to you. If you feel a witness, that's the Holy Spirit. It can be a little on your arms, on the back of your neck. God shift because the Holy Spirit is whispering this, okay? Situations that have made you snap or have situations, I'm not sure what I wrote here, apologies. Situations are going to come about that are going to give you peace. Your peace from the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in this shift. So let go of things that you've been holding on to really hard and say, yes, God, yes, because this shift is going to be significant. God's foreknowledge of everything has been established. Jesus Christ was never left to chance at the scriptures, we're told in the scriptures. They clearly indicate the end from the beginning and from the ancient times to now. Jesus said, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasures. When you're in a God shift, keep people on a need-to-know basis. Don't tell them everything that's happening. Keep your God shift on the, I call it the DL, divine low. In the Bible, God told the children of Israel that they had already won the victory against Jericho in advance. But in order to receive it, he told them to walk around the walls. How many times? Seven, silently. Then, on the seventh day, give a shout and the walls would come down. We read that in Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Sometimes our manifestation requires silence. God is saying to you in this shift, follow my instructions. Keep quiet. You got this. This victory is already known. He's won it. If you're marching by faith, suddenly everything that's been in your way is going to fall. Jericho was a city that stood between the wilderness and the promise. There's no way around it and no way to avoid it. A God shift will always take you through situations that prove that Jesus brought life. He's the life bringer. God's going to bring you through it. Philippians 4:13. the earth is also a very special product of God's. So in the natural, I believe this shift is referring to our governments. God does not leave these breadcrumbs to make us look silly. He wants us to understand that earth was made for us. And the earth systems are important to God. We read that in Revelation 13. All who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God blessed the earth with everything needed to sustain it. So all those government officials who have inequity, open doors to the demonic, and are making all these crazy changes, you know, worldly wide, God is coming to make the earth redeemed. The earth is the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in it. Psalm 24. This is why the citizens of Zion walk with God in spirit, so he can share his inherent revelation purposes for times like this to warn us of this coming shift. I heard September. I've been hearing September for a few years. So you have a couple months to prepare for this shift. The second key to understanding the invisible spirit realm of this wonderful planet we live in is centered on the expression and the fullness thereof. So recently, I didn't understand this text. I thought it was referring to the billions of people who live on this precious planet. No. The Holy Spirit showed me that this expression, and that they dwell therein, is the one that refers to the billions of people who live on this planet shall be provided for until the fullness of time. We do not need to worry. As long as we abide under the wings of God, we're safe. Holy Spirit showed me that when God created the earth, he filled it with everything, visible and invisible resource for mankind so that we can survive to the very last day until we die. Now's the time for you to put that in your spirit. Okay? Detach from relationships that God has shown you that have expired. Let go of what God is showing you that's holding you back. Don't let temporary emotions make permanent decisions in your life. Everything that's happening is shifting in the natural and in the spirit. You're being shifted into position to walk in your promise with God. It's super exciting. And he used the world pandemic to shift us. It's coming into fullness. It's almost been 3.5 years. God found you faithful through the hell and the high water, the stresses and the struggles we've been through. He's seen what people have done, and he's seen the work you've put into your faith. He's so proud of you. Keep your head up, your hands held high, and keep on walking, brothers and sisters. The prayers and the hopes that you've been watering with your tears are about to produce a supernatural harvest for God. Praise God. So I just want to conclude this today with, thank you all for listening. It's exciting to see God move and change the things in our lives that for the better. Trust him. Blessings to all of you today. I pray that you're having a beautiful day in the Lord. Take care. Bye-bye.